Revelation chapter 19, if you would stand with us, please, if you're able to do so. Continue to pray for Sister Tyson. We're still recovering from surgery likewise. And Brother Kemp, how's Brother Kemp doing, Miss Deborah? Good, good. But it is exhausting. And y'all pray for Brother Kemp as he undergoes treatments. What, 3 more weeks left? Is that right? 4th week tomorrow, okay. So 2 more weeks left. All right, so y'all continue to remember Brother Kemp in prayer. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God and sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Can I say to you, that's not just future tense. He's reigning right now. And it's a good thing to remember. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice. Don't go to work tomorrow carrying the cares on your shoulders and wearing the muddy grubs and dragging your lip. Let's be glad and rejoice. Our God reigns, verse 6 tells us that. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that which she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, Those are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. There are times when we assign names to people. And oftentimes that name is an indication of their character. It may be something some of you got nicknames when you were kids. I mentioned a couple weeks ago a fellow I went to school with whose name was Butterfinger Joe. And I told you about that. He was stealing candy bars out of the supply room. And it's been more than a couple years later. And when I still think about Joe, I think about Butterfinger Joe. And we get names assigned to us that are identifications of our character, of who we are. Notice verse 11. I saw heaven open, behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. I want to speak to you on a very simple thought tonight. Jesus, the Faithful One. Jesus, the Faithful One. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us this evening. Lord, I pray we'd be encouraged and helped and strengthened by this thought tonight. Well, we live in a day where you just about can't trust anybody for anything. In order to find someone that is just simply faithful, so refreshing and so encouraging. You know, we are tempted sometimes because of maybe the society in which we live, the injustice, Lord, the immorality of our day, we are tempted to believe that God is no longer faithful. And Lord, I pray that we'd see through your word tonight that you are the faithful and the true. We can depend upon you. And Lord, if we ever come to rest, our thoughts and our being on that principle that you are faithful, Lord, I'm convinced it will change the way we live, and the way we depend upon you. And so Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. May we lean upon that truth. May you be magnified and exalted, and may your people be helped this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, Jesus is called the Faithful Witness. 3 times in the book of Revelation, he's referred to as the Faithful One. And as I mentioned in my prayer, we live in a day when people are not very reliable. They'll get a warranty, and they'll say, we'll double your money back, guarantee. And you go back, and, well, you didn't read the fine print. and you got to read the extended warranty and all this sort of thing. And to find out people that are just faithful and true is almost a lost art in our society. If you want to learn the art of lying, just pay attention during the political process. And they will lie to you on every corner and make all kind of promises they never intend to keep. And so we live in a day where people are undependable. Proverbs says that confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now, if you've ever had either one of those, you know that is a painful thing. And confidence in an unfaithful man is painful. It's not very enjoyable. And we live in a generation and a culture that does not keep their word. There was a day when a man gave his word, and that was law. You didn't need to sign a piece of paper. If a man gave his word, that was it. You could bank on his word. We don't live in that day anymore. It's just the opposite. You don't know who to trust, who you can trust. But I'm here to tell you this evening, there is one we can trust. He is the faithful one. I want to give you a few things about him this evening. Turn, if you will, please, to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Number one, he's faithful in his character. God is faithful in his character. John 10 verse 35 says, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Then John 10 35 says, the word of God, the scripture cannot be broken. It cannot lie. It cannot be unfaithful. So I say to you that God is faithful in his character. If he is the word and the word of God cannot be broken, then he's faithful. He's dependable. Acts chapter 5, verse 39. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. If it's of God, ye can't overthrow it. God is faithful. God is dependable. Look, if you would, please, in Titus chapter 1, look in verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I'm having a memory lapse. I'm trying to think of the famous actor that went to Billy Graham, and after Billy Graham crusade and received Christ as personal Lord and Savior, Brother Bill? Steve McQueen. Steve McQueen was convicted by some message that he heard, went to Billy Graham after Billy Graham crusade, and went and sat down with him in his limousine. And Billy Graham gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ that night. Steve McQueen bowed his head, received Christ as his Savior. When Steve McQueen died, he had an open Bible in his lap. The open Bible in his lap, he had a hand on the Bible and a finger pointing to this verse, Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. You say, how in the world could God save somebody like Steve McQueen? The same way he saved me and you. He's faithful, and he cannot lie. And if Steve McQueen could put his finger on that verse and say, I know God is true and God is faithful and God is not a liar, I can trust him. Now I'm telling you, you and I tonight can believe that God in his character is faithful. He's a God that cannot lie. He's a God that will never disappoint us. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, over a couple pages. 2 Timothy chapter 2, right before the book of Titus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look in verse 13. Another great verse that reminds us of God's faithfulness. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. I love the first part of that verse. It says, if we believe not. Now, don't raise your hand. Don't point a finger. Don't elbow your spouse. But have you ever prayed and really didn't believe? You ever prayed? I remember years ago when my Shelby wanted a puppy, and man, she was just begging for a golden retriever. I mean, she wanted a golden retriever so bad. And it came home one day, and she proclaimed to me, Daddy, I'm getting a golden retriever for my birthday. I said, you are? And I looked at my wife like, what have you done? And she said, yes. She said, Mama told me I was getting one. And I'm like, I hope Mama's got some money, because you ain't getting one from Daddy. And I said, she walked off, and boy, she was all excited. I said, what? She said, I told her that if she wanted one, to pray for one, and God would give her one. And I said, well, I hope God's giving you some money, because I don't have money for a dog. The very next day, I came to work. Brother Mark said, hey, aren't y'all wanting a golden retriever dog? I said, yeah. He said, I found a guy yesterday who wants to give one away. I said, you're kidding. This was 3 days before her birthday. I said, you're kidding me. He said, no, sir. He said, all you got to do is go over there and you can pick it up. And sure enough, we did. God answered prayer. I'll tell you, the whole time I was unbelieving. When we moved out to Sylvester and out in the country, the house we moved in out there was out there for 8 years, and the whole situation was rather interesting to say the least. We pulled up in the driveway, and my wife immediately fell in love with the home. We walked in, talked with the owner, and we said, got ready. We looked around, and I told the lady, I said, we'll take it. And she said, that's good, but it's not that easy. And I said, what do you mean it's not that easy? I got the money, you got the property, and I want it, and you want to rent it out. I said, sounds pretty simple to me. She said, well, there's two people in front of you. And she said, both of them are supposed to come back tomorrow and give me an answer. Well, that was on a Tuesday, and we left the house, walked, and got in the car, was headed down to camp. We got in the car, and Kim said, let's pray. I said, excuse me? She said, let's pray. I said, pray for what? She said, pray that God would give us this place. I said, honey, you can pray if you want to. I said, but I'm going to tell you, there's not two people anywhere 100 miles of here that's too dumb enough to pass up this deal. I said, you can just forget it. She said, well, let's pray anyway. And I said, all right, we'll pray. And we sat there right there in the car and we prayed. Now, I'm confessing to you, there's a guy, Second Timothy chapter 2, said, if we believe not. Now, maybe I'm the only one in here who's ever doubted God, but I'm going to tell you, that day I doubted God. I said, God, I just don't believe this can happen. And we prayed, and the next day they never called back. And I told my wife on Wednesday, I said, honey, you can forget that. They never called back. And I tried to call them. We were staying in the prophet's chamber for 5 weeks. We lived over there, and we were staying there. And I called before church so I could line up some help for the next day if she was going to let us have it. And she never called back, never called back. 7:30 the next morning. She called me. She said, preacher, you still in wretched in this house? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, it's yours if you want it. I said, I'm on my way right now with a handful of cash and a truckload of furniture. I'm ready to move in. I'll tell you, God knows how to answer prayer. He, in his character, is faithful, even when we don't believe. I believe sometimes God, just out of humor, likes to answer our prayer just to astonish us, just to remind us, I told you I could do it. In his character, he is faithful. Notice number two very quickly. Not only is he faithful in his character, number two, he's faithful in his calling. Hold your place in 2 Timothy, would please, and turn to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, he's faithful in his character. He's a God that cannot lie. He's a God that cannot deny himself. If he gave his word on something, he's not going to deny himself. He's not going to be unfaithful. Even when we don't believe, God is faithful. He'll always do what he said. He's faithful in his character. He's faithful in his calling. Revelation chapter 17, notice verse 14. Revelation 17, 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. So if he's faithful in his character, and we are those that are with him, and we are called, God is faithful in his calling. We were singing that song earlier about saved by grace. And I couldn't help but think about how unworthy we are. And how God had no reason whatsoever other than his love to reach down and save us. And yet God called us, and God called us. And he was faithful in that. He was faithful in his calling. Notice there's several things he's faithful in his calling us to. If you would go ahead and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In God's calling us, he's faithful with his power. In God's calling us, he's faithful with his power. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, or chapter 1, verse 7. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I say to you, God is faithful in his calling, in his power for our life. Listen, there's nothing that God's called you to do that he will not equip you to do. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. And when God calls us to a certain thing, God gives us the power, the enablement, the ability to do that which he has called. You say, preacher, I would love to do that, but I'm just not capable. Well, none of us are. But when God calls you, he gives you the capability. He gives you the power. He gives you the strength. He gives you the wisdom. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful who has called you. And if God calls you to do something, then you rest assured God is faithful. You say, preacher, I want to teach that class. I know God has called me, but I can't do it. If God called you, you can do it. God called you to teach that class. God told you to work in the bus ministry or the jail ministry or the camp ministry or some other type of ministry. God called you to do a certain thing. Then you in and of yourself can't do it. And I in and of myself cannot do it. But if God called you, He will provide the ability that you need because He's faithful. He's faithful in His power. Notice number two, He's faithful in His protection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but as such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, that you may have a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So when temptation comes, God is faithful with His protection. He will make a way to escape. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. God is able to protect us from the evil one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God is faithful and will make a way to escape. Well, preacher, the temptation is just so strong. There's so many obstacles and there's so much opposition. There's so much evil in our land. I don't tell you, if you have a desire to depart from evil, God will make a way for you to depart from evil. Problem is, most time we don't have the desire to depart from evil. We kind of go running to it. We kind of embrace it. There's no habit that can overcome you with God's power. No habit. There's no temptation that you can't overcome. Well, preacher, I just can't get the victory. This thing, I battle. I just can't. I've tried and I just can't do it. No, you can't, but God can. God is faithful to keep you from evil. Don't you know God wants to keep you pure? Don't you know God wants a clean vessel? And this idea that, well, I would if I could, and if I could just get the temptation over that, then I would. I'll tell you, that's a lie of the devil. That's a cop-out. God is faithful to protect you from the evil that comes in our day. God is faithful in His calling you to power. God is faithful in His calling you to protection from evil. Number three, God is faithful to call you to purity. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Not only just to protect us from evil and to keep us from temptation, but to live pure. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This passage is known for its short verses. We hear 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 every June and every July when it comes to Bible memory time. And you folks on Wednesday night, you hear it. Quote me about 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Wow, those are easy short verses to remember. But notice what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow or pursue that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. We talked about holding fast this morning. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now I'll tell you, just those, that's a short list, but that's some powerful stuff. Go back to verse 16, rejoice evermore. That means everything you do, rejoice and be thankful and don't gripe. You say, preacher, that's not that hard. All right, I challenge you to do this. Stop by a drive-thru tonight on the way home. You go gripe about the wait. You go gripe because they got your order wrong, because they will get your order wrong almost every time. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in everything. Notice he said in verse 16. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Well, that's a tall order. That's something that's hard for us to do. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Boss comes in at 10 minutes till 5 on Friday afternoon, says, I need this done before you leave today. You've already got in you're halfway to the car already. And the boss says, this has got to be done. And you just immediately, I mean, without even thinking, just automatically in your mind, you say, praise the Lord. Sure you do. No, you say, oh, man, I wanted to go to the lake. I've got supper planned. I've got this. He said, in everything, give thanks. Notice again in verse 19, quench not the spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. Verse 22 is a kicker. Abstain from all appearances of evil. He didn't say abstain from all evil. He said abstain from all the appearances of evil. Man, that takes it to another level. Notice verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The word sanctify means to purify or to make clean. The very peace of God sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit. Now watch this. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Now, not just our body, but our spirit. He said in verse 23, our spirit and our soul and our body be preserved blameless. I want to tell you, that's a tall order, friend. Not just our hands and our eyes and our feet, but our mind, our heart, our motives, all the things on the inside. He said, I pray they be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You said, preacher, that passage of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that's just too much. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, abstain from all appearance of evil in everything. That's a little much. I just can't. Well, that's not what Paul said. Paul said, at the end of that, I'll remind you, faithful is he that called you to rejoice evermore. Faithful is he who called you to pray without ceasing. Faithful is he who called you to despise not prophesying. Faithful is he who called you to abstain from all appearances of evil. Faithful is he who called you to be blameless in your soul, in your spirit, and in your body. He is faithful, according to verse 22, verse 24. He is faithful who also will do it. He didn't say, if you'll commit yourself, God is faithful and he might help you out. That's not what he said. He said he will do it. May I say to you, God is faithful and is calling us to the power to do what we need to do, to the protection. Notice number three, he's faithful in the calling to purity. Then notice number four, he's faithful to the calling of prayer. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, he said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true and a heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our blood, bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Notice what he said in verse 22. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Remember what he said in the verse before that? Come boldly. He said we could enter boldly. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, come boldly to the throne of grace. We may find mercy and help to grace to help in time of need. In this passage, Hebrews chapter 10, he said, come boldly into the holiness by the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, let us come with a true heart in full assurance of faith. When we go to God, we ought to go with full assurance, with complete confidence that God is going to answer our prayer. Why? Because he's faithful. And he goes on to say in the verse we read again this morning, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. He is faithful that promise, hold our profession of our faith without wavering. Come boldly to the throne of God without any wavering, without any any backup plan. Well, we've learned, I remember years ago, I think Brother Greg and I went to a camp conference, and they had a whole session on the art of Plan B. Now, if you know anything about camp, you know this. You better have a Plan B. Matter of fact, if you know anything about working with teenagers, you better have a Plan B, because something's going to go wrong. And there was a whole class on the art of Plan B. You know, oftentimes we've mastered that art, and we go to God in prayer, we've already got a Plan B in our back pocket. And we go to God and say, well, God, now, if we don't say it, but we're thinking it, well, if God don't answer the prayer, then I've got a Plan B back here in my back pocket, and we'll pull it up. Don't tell you, that's not going with full heart, or with a true heart of full assurance. He's faithful in his calling us to prayer. He's faithful. I love this one, 1 John 1:9. You know the verse already. He's faithful in his calling us to pardon. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some of our unrighteousness. Is that what it says? Cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Well, preacher, I've messed up before, and I did it again. I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I did it again. The Bible says He's faithful. He's faithful. I've dealt with folks who, marriages, where spouses messed up, gone in and sat down with a husband and wife, and I've heard both genders say, "That's it, I'm done." I remember being called to home one day and went out the house and got out to the house, and the husband met me on the front porch. He said, "Now, preacher, I appreciate you coming." He said, "But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm done. This is not the first time, may not be the last. So I'm glad you came, but I'm done. I've had all I can handle." You know, I can see where that happens with us, but I want to tell you, I'm glad I serve a God that when I go to Him in prayer, God never says, "I'm done. Sorry, I've forgiven you for the last time." God is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful in His character. He's faithful in His calling. Notice number 3 very quickly. Notice verse 11 of Revelation chapter 19, our text. Revelation chapter 11, He's faithful, number 3, in His coming. He's faithful in His coming. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse." A white horse in that day was a picture of triumph. A conqueror rode the right horse. And I'm going to tell you, the conqueror will ride the white horse again. He's faithful in His coming. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He judge and make war." He's faithful in His coming. He's faithful in His character. He's faithful in His calling. Notice number 4, the last thing, very quickly. He's faithful in His commendations, and He's faithful in His condemnations. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. "For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but He that judgeth me is the Lord." I've seen on many individuals a tattoo that says, "Only God can judge me. Only God can judge me." I don't know exactly what the thought behind that is. I do know this, that God is going to judge you. And I think, I'm not going to say on every case, but I think in some cases, that tattoo is with the thought that don't anybody else judge me, and God's not going to judge me either. But I'll tell you, in reality, God is going to judge every single one of us. And God's judgment is faithful and it's true. I've been in courtrooms and in hearings. Was in a hearing recently. And the person who judged the hearing, after I found out later what the judgment was that came down, I questioned, was that judge at the same hearing I was at? Because I don't see how in the world they could make the judgment they made based on the evidence when they heard what I heard. I'm like, were they even in the same room? I don't think they heard the same case. I won't tell you, every judgment that God makes is true. It's righteous. It is faithful. Notice what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians. Turn, if you will, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. You're close by there. 1 Peter chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul writes, as he's nearing the end of his ministry, Paul writes this, "Henceforth, and there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." When I say to you, God is faithful in His commendation, and God is faithful in His condemnation. One day God is going to judge us, and He's not going to be biased. There are judgments on earth, and you can tell they're biased. You go to a courtroom, and you go to any other type of judgment, and you can see it skewed a little bit. Maybe they've been bought off. Maybe they've already received some kind of recompense. But I'll tell you, when we stand before God, whatever God judges us with, it's going to be faithful, it's going to be righteous, and it's going to be true. People may misjudge your motives. They may misrepresent your actions and things that you do. I want to tell you, when we get to the great, or not the great white throne, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, every judgment that God has given is going to be just and true, and it's going to be a faithful judgment. And I'm afraid that sometimes, that on some occasion, we may get to the judgment seat and we're expecting that crown. And could it be that we're passed over because our motives were not right? Then the Lord may say, yeah, you did the deed, but you didn't do it for me. You did it for somebody else. You did it so you could get noticed. You did it so that you wouldn't be reprimanded or looked down upon, or maybe you did it for this reason, for that reason. If we don't do it with the right motive, then the Bible says we'll lose our reward. But I'll tell you, at the judgment seat of Christ, and maybe on the other hand, there are those, and I know this takes place for a fact, that serve with a pure heart and a pure motive, and for whatever reason, their motives are misaligned and misjudged and misrepresented. And I've seen people who faithfully serve. I'll just give you an example, and I won't give you the people involved because I don't want to embarrass them. But a couple people that I'm very close to and love dearly, they were judged by someone who was over them and on a decision they made, and it disappointed them. It really discouraged them. And they're like, we know this is the right thing to do, but they just let us have it. I mean, they just gave them both barrelful. And they were perplexed and confused and discouraged by this person who they respected and loved and thought a great deal of, and their judgment of them. And I quickly said to them, can I remind you, they're a little bit older than you are. They've seen a little bit more than you've seen. They've been doing what they're doing for the Lord for a long time. And they're just going based on statistics and what they've seen and what they've observed over the years. And may I remind you that you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for God Almighty. And understand that folks make mistakes. Can I say this? I say this respectfully. But I stand by what I say. I think sometimes the longer we serve the Lord, we think we have more of a right to say what the will of God is for somebody else. I don't know what the will of God is for you. Now, let me emphatically say this. If your will does not match up with His Word, it's wrong. And if my will does not match up with this Word, I don't care how many churches you stand behind the pulpit in, I don't care what you say or what kind of testimony you give, if your word or your will does not match up with His Word, it is wrong. I don't care whose will it is. But on the other hand, I say to you, sometimes we make a habit of knowing the will of God for somebody else, and I don't know the will of God for somebody else. And sometimes we judge someone's motives, or we judge someone's actions, and sometimes we're wrong. I know we don't like to admit that, but sometimes we are. But I want to tell you, when we stand before the judgment seat, the judgment He gives is going to be spot on. It's not going to be unjust. It's not going to be inaccurate. It's not going to be skewed. It's not going to be biased. His judgment is faithful. His commendations and His condemnations at the judgment day are going to be accurate. They will be faithful. You know why? Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. He is called faithful. He's faithful in His character. He's faithful in His calling. If God's called you to do something, whatever God's called you to do, you say, preacher, I can't do it. You're right, you can't, I can't. But He's faithful, and He'll give you the ability to do it. He's faithful in His coming. The world may speculate, and they may ridicule and say, well, He's been promising that for years. He's not coming. I'm going to tell you, He's coming. You can go to the bank on it. He's coming. He's faithful in His coming, and He's faithful in His commendation and His condemnation. The world may look at us and say, well, you've wasted a life. Think about Randall Jordan. 37 years in Italy. 37 years in one place. coming off the field and has some health issues, and I think they're in their mid to late 70s perhaps. Faithful servants of God. You know, the world will look at them and say, man, what a failure. Now, I don't know his financial situation, none of my business. I'm not going to speculate. But I'm just going to say the average missionary comes home with little or nothing. They come back. I know there's a missionary village down in Florida where a very wealthy individual donated some land and has apartments like built on the property, and where missionaries can go there and retire. Thank God for little or nothing. Thank God for that. God bless that fellow. But I know the average missionary comes back with very little to his name. Health just about gone. No investments. No earthly treasure down here. And the world looks at them and says, what a waste. I want to tell you, that's not what God says. God judges completely differently. Sometimes we look down here. Now, I want to tell you, I'm done. But I'm a little heartbroken at believers who are starting to look down here and not up there. We're trying to look, see how much money our kids can make, what kind of jobs they have, what kind of security they have, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in all my life. What kind of financial security? Are you kidding me? Financial security in this day? If you got your head in the sand, only financial security you and I have is our Heavenly Father. That's it. And I'm a little perplexed and a little confused a little bit by folks who all of a sudden we've got our eyes down here. I want to tell you, this is not my home. I'm leaving here. The Lord gave us a wonderful place a year and a half ago, and I'm enjoying the fire out of it. I love it. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm ready to leave it tomorrow. I'm just going to leave it. When He comes, He's faithful. Let's remember that He's going to judge wisely.